Did you know that the original Final Fantasy creator, Hironobu Sakaguchi, made a spiritual successor to that legendary series called Fantasian for Apple Arcade, and every level in the game is a handmade, physical miniature model? Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a 1 month free trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. This offer is for new subscribers only. $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.
The freaks. I loved those freaks so much that they really coasted me through, because every opportunity to see a new one, I can't stress to you how much my face would light up every time. And you mentioned before the rotating tire of teeth. That encounter, I fully had to pause and take a moment to like gather myself. But they did so much heavy lifting, all of the really like, well, there's no other way to say it. This is the flesh that people should have been talking about. The flesh that people should have been talking about is not Eve. It should have been the big meaty monsters, because they're so fantastic and I love them so very much.
Get you someone who looks at you the same way Steph looks at big teeth wheelie Night Eva. My goodness.
Sifter.com.au.
G'day, I'm Chris Button and this is Drop Rate, Sifter's video game review podcast. Stellblade is the hot topic of discussion online at the moment. So is there actually some substance behind the flashy visuals? Games Hub's Steph Panicasio and Kotaku Australia's David Smith join me to find out. But first, let's check out the latest headlines from Walkthrough, Sifter's weekly news podcast.
Hi, I'm Gianni DiGiovanni.
And I'm Fiona Bartholomew.
And here are the top stories this week on Walkthrough, Sifter's weekly news podcast for Sunday, 23rd of June.
Elden Ring Shadow of the Erdtree knocks off previous DLC king, The Witcher 3 Blood and Wine.
Zelda gets her own game and I'm excited, plus the cool games from the Nintendo Direct.
Sims like Life by You is cancelled by Paradox, leaving developers blindsided.
And why a free game about it clicking a banana is racing up the Steam charts.
You can get every episode of Walkthrough for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or on our website sifter.com.au every Sunday.
Sit down for a chat with your pals in video games.
You're listening to Sifter.
Steph, what is Stellblade?
So Stellblade is an action-adventure game developed by Shift Up and published by Sony. And you essentially play as Eve, who is a member of the 7th, I believe, Airborne Squadron. And she drops down onto a very devastated planet. Earth is not doing well and is overrun by these aliens called Natibas, which you must dispatch in the most grotesque of ways and try and figure out a way to essentially save humanity.
Yeah, and on those Natibas, that was something that I saw in your coverage a fair bit, Steph, that these ghouls, these sort of monstrous entities, they're sort of, I found it's a weird blend of sci-fi and fantasy in the game sort of setting, that the enemies sort of remind me a blend of what you might see in a Dark Souls or Bloodborne game versus the sort of angelic and demonic entities, say, in Bayonetta or something. And they seem to be a bit of a highlight for you as well.
Oh, I love them. I love a freak. I love an abomination. If it looks grotesque, I'm right there with it. That's my best friend and I will stick with them till the end of time. Honestly, every single time that I'd come across a new Natiba, I was like, oh my gosh, another, give me another. And I loved them so much. Honestly, it was like my highlight just to be able to see all of the different designs for it.
Fabulous. And sort of going back a little bit, certainly one of the big discussion points that has surrounded Stellblade, even when it was first announced and now that the game's out, all the reviews are out and people are playing the game, is the protagonist, Eve, especially in terms of like her portrayal, her character design and depiction. And I know, Steph, this was even something that you'd mentioned in your early coverage of the demo that came out, that sort of the design certainly is eye-catching, but there are perhaps some sort of cool mitigating elements, emphasis on the sum as well. What are your thoughts on sort of Eve as a character and in particular her design as well?
I think to be generous to Eve, she as a character from a personality standpoint has not got a lot going on for her, to be totally honest, in my opinion. She's very, very one-dimensional. She's essentially like the paper doll that you put the clothes on and then you run through with. I think in terms of the design, I know that her actual body was based off a model that is an existing model in the world, a real human. And I do understand why the discourse went the way that it did, because there's really no like physical reason for her to look that way and be dressed in that way. It is essentially just because she can, and people will enjoy in their own ways those clothes. I do think, having played more of it, that the pre-released discourse where everyone was like, oh my God, well, I'm just going to avoid it entirely because she's naked all the time, I do think that that went probably a little bit too hard, because there are so many opportunities to change to an outfit that is normal. There's a tracksuit. There are all of these other options. And I do think that there was a little bit of like early extreme leaning over the idea of, okay, well, if she's going to look like that the whole time, I simply won't. And I think that's a shame. But I do think that on the whole, there's really no reason for her to look that way. It's just because she can. And I respect that, you know, this is a real person's body. So I'm not going to critique the fact that it might look to some people as unrealistic, because it's not. But it also is not necessarily the look that I'd personally go for if I was slaying all of these grotesque monsters, especially in like heels that don't have heels, so you look like you're wearing hooves. That's not really the one that I would go for, but who's to say?
Yeah, I know certainly when my partner saw me playing a fair bit of Stella Blade, she was critiquing a lot of the outfit choices in particular. And yeah, the very bizarre heels that aren't heels as well. So
they're hooves. Yeah, I'm telling you.
Having not worn heels myself, I can only assume that they're not very well suited for use in battle or traipsing along, a sort of post-apocalyptic Earth. But
you'd say that, but I will give one concession, and that is it is much easier to run because you're already in a kind of elevated position. It is a lot shakier on the ankles, so if you're good at it, you can do it. I do remember there was a period of time in like the early 2010s where those sorts of heels without heels were quite popular, and people would be like going out to the club wearing their hooves. Not me, to be clear. I'm not very good. I fall down on flat ground. But it does make it easier technically to run if you're already in that elevated position, if you have strong ankles.
I'll keep that in mind, just in the case that I need to make a quick dash. But, David, I know that in a lot of people's experiences with Stella Blade so far, there has been quite a fair bit of positive sort of sentiment towards the game in terms of how it plays. But I know that you haven't been so crash hot on Stella Blade, so I'd really like to hear your thoughts on sort of why that's the case, or what were your sort of initial impressions early of the game were.
Yeah, so I've been that flat out that I had much time to put into the game. So I wound up playing probably, I think I've got about 7 or 8 hours into it so far, enough to put like a review in progress together, but certainly not enough to render a final review or anything. What I found particularly in those early stages was like I felt a lot of what I was doing was very familiar. There was this sense of like, I don't know where it came from, but there was a sense like pre-release of this game being like, oh, it's going to be like really different in terms of its combat and special. And the combat is cool. Don't get me wrong. The combat's quite cool and it's quite fun and very flashy. I don't know if I'm showing my age or not with this, but it just feels like, I don't know, I was playing it and I'm just like, I've been doing this since like Devil May Cry in 2002, man. I just don't feel like I'm doing anything here I haven't done before. And yes, it's flashy, but I feel like I need more. I agree with Steph, like the monster designs are really cool and like I'm having a great time. Like that aspect rules. the combat was like, okay, I'll do more of it. Pardon me. I'll do more of it, but I'm not, it's not my favorite thing. Her character, as Steph said, not all that there, like to nothing really to pull you through, no strong tether to the character or to the world. I don't know. I'm finding I don't have all that much to grab onto with this game. Like there's nothing that's really hooked me enough that I want to go back, that I must, like it's pulling me in. Like I need to go back and keep playing this. And that's like, after all the rage and the discourse and the back and forth online, to come away from it being like, nah, it's all right. It's sort of like, I don't know. That's a little bit of a letdown for me, I guess.
Almost a little bit anticlimactic, would you say?
I guess a little, yeah. I mean, how much of that is tied up in the fact that, like, I was actively trying to avoid discourse because, of course, like, our outlet was tangentially caught up in that. So I was hoping to avoid as much of that as I could, lest I have the Twitter gun turned on me at any point. A little anticlimactic for me.
Yeah, but let's touch on the combat, because you mentioned that the combat is quite cool and flashy, and for me, this is sort of the one thing that brings it all together. Although, as you say, I wouldn't label it as anything sort of fresh or new, because we've seen similar combat. It does take a lot of cues from, say, the Souls games in terms of the very methodical, the, you know, it's interesting you mentioned Devil May Cry, because I think people were perhaps expecting Devil May Cry Bayonetta-paced combat.
I was definitely expecting more of that.
Whereas this is slower and more methodical, based on a lot of sort of blocks, parries, dodges, and waiting for those counterattack opportunities. And it's something I really enjoyed. But what did you think of how the combat handled, David?
I thought it handled really well. Like, there's obviously been a lot of, like, time, thought, care put into that, which you don't often see with games that attempt to emulate the FromSoft style guide. A lot of the time they're sort of like, oh, it's a patience play and that's all you need to do. It's a lot more complicated than that. It always has been. Stellar Blade feels like it's one of a few that have gotten quite close to really, like, emulating it but putting their own stamp on it, for sure. Like, FromSoft is rarely as flashy as this is, for sure. It's more utilitarian. This is definitely like, we want you to feel the patience play, the strategy of a FromSoft title, but we do want you to feel incredibly cool while you're doing it, as opposed to, I don't know, frail and afraid, which is how I feel when I play a FromSoft game. Definitely a lot to enjoy there. I think if you can, like, if you're the sort of person that does dig into the combat systems in a FromSoft game, you'll find a lot to like here, because I think there is a lot to, like, pick through, like, efficiencies to look for, builds that you can sort of play with to give you that little extra edge in combat. I do think there's a lot of really, really good gear here.
Yeah, what about you, Steph? What did you think?
No, I really enjoyed being able to kind of dig into a little bit more of that precision type play, where I really am not the sort of person that really gravitates towards that normally. And it was a bit of an adjustment. I'm not very good at a lot of the more Souls games. And I tend to avoid that when I can, because I'm much more interested in, like, ranged play. And honestly, it was really enticing to me more than anything else, because, yeah, it's not particularly fresh, but it is fresh enough to me because I usually don't play that way, that I was like, you know what, this is flashy and I'm really enjoying it. I will say that I think the aesthetic of the combat really sells it harder. And I think if it didn't look as flashy, I would probably be a lot less inclined. But because you're getting these beautiful swooping, like, movements, and because the Nativa are so visually striking, that it just really takes it to that level where I don't think it would have been otherwise. And I will say that my only gripe is that I really wish that we didn't have to slow it down for every kill just to watch it happen, because it really killed my momentum as I was trying to go through it. But aside from that, I think as soon as she pulls the sword out of her ponytail, which, might I say, great accessory, then I'm very ready to go, basically.
Excellent. And yeah, that flashiness of the combat, that was certainly a highlight for me as well, given that, you know, it is such a well-paced combat system where you once you do build up enough sort of blocks or parries on an opponent, you do enter like this stagger state, or rather the enemy enters a stagger state where you can then unleash these utterly brutal finishes and combos and do devastating amounts of damage, especially to these massive Nytebas that, especially the one with like not quite the chainsaw ring around its head, but you know, the one that had like this spiked tire around its head. That was
my best friend.
Oh my goodness, that was one hell of an encounter. And Stellar Blade is filled with those sort of encounters, which I think sustains the game for the most part, because a lot of it does borrow quite heavily from games that have come before it. We've mentioned the likes of Devil May Cry. We've mentioned the likes of the Souls, the From Software, Elden Ring, etc. And, you know, we could go on with the comparisons for quite some time, even from the sort of semi-linear world exploration and the rest points that regenerate nearby enemies, that sort of thing. So a lot of it is quite familiar, but was that something that when you were playing Steph, I know you mentioned that you don't necessarily gravitate towards like the From Software or games of its ilk. So did it feel that same sense of familiarity for you, or did you feel like it was still a nice sort of cohesion between sort of the combat, the exploration, and sort of the other things that Stellar Blade attempts?
I think there definitely were elements of familiarity. Just to be clear, I have played, I've played Dark Souls, I've played Elden Ring, and I've gone through, and I'm just not good at them is the issue. I know it's a skill issue on my end. So yeah, there was a lot of familiarity. I do think that comparatively, I found this considerably easier, and I think probably a more accessible way to get into that kind of combat and familiarize yourself with it. I mean, I have a lot of conversations with my dad as a new gamer, and whether or not he should play certain games, whether or not he's ready for certain games, even though he likes to throw himself into the deep end as much as possible. And we actually spoke about Stellar Blade and whether or not it was something that he would be able to do with his even more limited skill set. Sorry, Dad. and I think he would probably have an easier go of it with this than he would with Elden Ring by every margin.
Yep.
And I do think that given that the precision and the type of combat that it has is such like a formula that you have to really understand, I think it's a good entry point for him specifically and people who are similarly interested in those sorts of games but haven't been able to because of the difficulties as yet.
Yeah, so Tony Panicassio, let's play when?
Look, don't even, because he will. He would love to. He's a big, very theatrical kind of guy, and he's already said before, you know, there are streamers who are as old as I am. It's possible, and it's true, but also that means I have to set him up and I have to be involved in that process and watch him induce vertigo in people who are watching because of the camera movements and the fact that he exclusively rolls. When he can roll in a game, that's his motion of movement everywhere.
What a king.
Fabulous. I love that. I love that so much. So David, in terms of what was it sort of this familiarity and sort of reuse of game sort of mechanics and systems, was this part of the reason that you felt that Stellar Blade perhaps didn't hit the marks that you were expecting, or was it something else that, you know, sort of saw you bounce off of this?
I think it was like the proximity to so many other games that I'm familiar with that kind of brought it down for me. Like what it does, as we've said, it does really, really well. But it certainly feels like I'm playing a Souls-like every other month at this point. Some are better than others. I do think I would put Stellar Blade in the better category, definitely. But yes, it did, that familiarity for me was what I think brought it down for sure.
Yeah, and I know that there were some elements that you weren't crash hot on, and I think it's actually been quite unanimous that the platforming in Stellar Blade is not great. So, talk us through a little bit of this.
I hated it. I hated it so much. Every time I press the jump button, she's going in directions I can't predict or like control. I just, less of it. Never. I didn't want to do any of that. I stopped doing any of that. I was just like, I understand that like exploration is going to be important here and will help me level Eve up more quickly. I can build out like the crafting system, the outfits, all the rest of it. I don't care. It is enough to push me away from that aspect of the game entirely. If anything required me to jump, that was as far as the exploration would go. I'd be like, no, I'm just going to leave that. I'm not going to worry about it. Put a crate in the middle of the walkway for me so I can just open that and move on with my day. I could not be bothered.
Yeah, and Steph, I saw your eyes light up at the mention of platforming as well. I assume that was very much a shared experience.
She turns into an involuntary base jumper every time I try and get her to swing on the pole. And, like, it just, it drives me crazy because it is, I would be in the correct position. I would have the right amount of distance. I would have everything lined up exactly the way that it needed to be. And then it was like she'd jump and then go, actually, no, I don't want to. And it drove me insane because I was going, there's no reason for you not to. Do your hands suddenly not feel like holding on to a platform? No? Interesting. Yep. And I feel like it's also partly because she doesn't just stop either, even when she's walking. She has to like kind of wind down a little bit. And it's incredibly frustrating when you are dealing with, okay, I need to be at the edge of this to be able to get to this point. But she doesn't want to stop at the edge. She wants to just go a little bit further and peek over the edge and potentially plummet to her doom at will. And it's driving me crazy.
It's so odd because it's at complete, there's like this incongruence between how solidly and how precisely the combat feels, and her combat maneuvers, you know, feel great, they control great, but then as soon as she doesn't have sword in hand, she's like, I've forgotten how to move. I don't know how to use my legs. Which I will say, my goal in life now is to learn how to slide down ladders the way that she does. Like she absolutely slays when she slides down ladders. If you don't know what I'm talking about, anyone tuning in, look up a YouTube video or something, because she's got some serious style. The way she sort of manages to slide down ladders in the most stylishly way, most extra way I've seen in a video game. So, yeah, she's certainly got that going for her, but not the ability to jump, as it were. So, yeah.
Look, I mean, as a short person who has to rely on step ladders and ladders quite a lot, can't say that that's my experience for sliding down. Generally, I'm much more stilted and, oh, my God, don't fall. But I respect that for her.
It's so funny that you bring up the poles that she has to swing off of, because that was just every time I saw another one, I was just like, please no, please, oh God, please don't.
She's not a gymnast, let's say.
Not at all.
No, unfortunately not. Were there any other parts of the game, Steph, that didn't quite hit the mark for you, or, you know, didn't quite sort of fit together as part of the overall experience?
I wouldn't necessarily say that it didn't fit together, but without giving anything away, the story for me is a bit on the nose, shall we say. I think there are so many interesting ways that you can take a story like that. And unfortunately for me, it just went in the most kind of expected way. And it was disappointing, but also extremely predictable. So I was like, okay, this is what's going to happen. And it was a shame, because I do think that there's a lot of scope, and I've seen it done really, really well, where that kind of, again, I don't want to give anything away, but that kind of twist and that kind of thematic engineering, it can be done really interestingly. And I just feel like it missed the mark in delivering that. And it's possibly because the characters themselves were that kind of more one-dimensional, that energy that they had. And I feel like there wasn't really somebody that stood out to me that wasn't like that. So maybe it was because of that, that it kind of just fell flat in that respect. And narratively, I just feel like it could have been so much more.
Yeah. And David, I wonder if you had a similar experience to me having played, you know, the first half dozen hours or so, is that Stellar Blade very quickly throws you into the thick of it without providing a lot of context or a lot of background as to sort of the gravity of the situation or why you should particularly care. And I found that the pacing to be really odd in terms of how things sort of jump ahead from the first encounter to the next bit. And then, oh, by the way, we're going to show you some rather inconsequential flashbacks when you, you know, rest at some of these camps to fill in some of the gaps. Not to mention a lot of the lore being sort of gated behind the collectible logs from fallen soldiers and that sort of thing. Was that something that you found particularly grating as well?
I mean, yes, in the sense, particularly the logs, like that's all the collectible stuff, right? So I'm not finding them. I get no extra context because I don't want to do it. there is certainly a problem of design there for sure. Grading may not be the right word. I just didn't care. Like it was all washing over me. I wasn't paying attention. I'm just moving to the next fight and I'm doing that because that's what's interesting. So much of the story and character just felt like, I mean, even calling it an afterthought might be generous. Like it felt like if that would suggest that they thought about it at all, it just doesn't feel like there's any work that's been done here. Like it's just, even the opening sequence where like they start setting up the stakes and they start introducing characters is so overblown with spectacle and like particle effects and rocks being blown apart that I'm just like, this is great. What, where are we? What's happening though? Who are these people? She's dead. Who was she? Like, I don't have answers for any of this stuff, and the game never bothers to turn around and tell me about it unless I'm poking into corners and finding logs and things. Bad. Don't care for that.
Yeah, yeah. And to sort of, you know, wrap things up a little bit, David, were there any other thoughts that you haven't mentioned or sort of a summary of your Stellar Blade experience?
I think for me, like, will I remember this at Game of the Year time? I don't think I will. Like that's, I don't think it's going to come up. I feel like even the amount of time that I've put into Stellar Blade now, like whatever it is, 7-8 hours, that's probably enough for me. Like I feel like I've gotten what I'm going to get out of it and I'm probably happy to leave it. I will keep playing it. I do want to finish off our review in progress, but it's sort of like, I don't know that it's under protest, more out of like duty than anything else. We don't do ratings on Kotaku, but it's a big old like 6 out of 10 for me.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. What about you, Steph? Any other thoughts on Stellar Blade or what your overall vibe of the game is?
Oh, look, I think I did enjoy it. I think because I stuck with it and I really, there were moments where I had to force myself to persevere, but I do think that I did get something out of doing so. And it was genuinely entertaining, if for no other reason that the freaks, I loved those freaks so much that they really coasted me through because every opportunity to see a new one, I can't stress to you how much my face would light up every time. And you mentioned before the rotating tire of teeth. That encounter, I fully had to pause and take a moment to like gather myself because I was so excited about it. And I feel like that really, like even from the first few that you meet where there's like a starfishing weird little Hydra one and Geth looking ones, I loved them all so much that I feel like it really just propelled me through. And without them, would I have wanted to finish? Probably not. But they did so much heavy lifting. All of the really, like, well, there's no other way to say it. This is the flesh that people should have been talking about. The flesh that people should have been talking about is not Eve. It should have been the big meaty monsters because they're so fantastic and I love them so very much. And I feel like that's the underrated aspect of what's going on here. And just like very, very small things that made me giggle along the way, like the fact that in the main menu alongside the difficulty settings, there's also a very important setting of should you have a short ponytail or a long ponytail. And you know what? It's important. So I'm on team short ponytail for what it's worth.
Get you someone who looks at you the same way Steph looks at big teeth wheelie Nytaeva. My goodness. So all things considered, Steph, do you drop or rate Stellar Blade?
I think, honestly, it was enjoyable enough for me. I rate it. It's not reinventing a wheel, but it's fun.
And how about you, David?
Oh, I'm dropping it.
I actually do rate Stellar Blade. I think, David, I line up with a lot of your thoughts on the game, but the combat has done enough to sort of keep me going through. So I do rate it. It's a soft rate, but a rate nonetheless.
Join the Sifter community on Discord at sifter.com.au/Discord.
This has been Drop Rate by Sifter, our video game review podcast. Thanks to PlayStation Australia for providing a review code to Stellar Blade. The game is out now on PlayStation 5.
Steph, where can we find you to follow you and find more of your work?
So on socials, I'm at Steph Panicasio at pretty much everything, like a windowpane Casio watch if you're confused on how to spell it. And obviously, of course, over at Games Hub, and we've got a lot of content over there for Stellar Blade, including reviews of the demo and the main game and some tips and tricks. So yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
How about you, David? Where can people find you and more of your work?
Yeah, you can find me over on the socials at RuneWords, RuneWords. Good Lord, I almost misspelled my own handle. You can find me over at Kotaku AU. The handle is Kotaku AU on just about everything. Similar story. We've got loads of content up on Stellar Blade across the board. It's been a very interesting couple of weeks covering that game for sure.
That is Stellar Blade, a game that is very flashy. She has great combat, but does feel very familiar in a lot of different parts. A Sifter is produced by Chris Button, Courtney Barrett, Kyle Pauletto, Fiona Bartholomaeus, Daniel Ang, and Adam Christo. Mitch Lowe is senior producer, and Gianni Di Giovanni is executive producer. And thank you to Brian Fairbanks from Salty Dog Sounds for composing the theme music. If you enjoyed this episode of Drop Rate, please consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts and sharing the episode on social media. Thank you for joining us. See you next time.
Hey there, Gianni here on the latest episode of Lightmap Sifter's interview podcast. Cade Franklin from Spitfire Interactive joins me to share Capes, a superhero tactics game where teaming up with your allies makes all the difference.
It's set in a world where the supervillains have defeated the superheroes 20 years ago. And since then, developing superpowers is outlawed. So as a player, you're one of the superheroes who was meant to be dead from 20 years ago is returned to the city. And he's starting to recruit a group of young superheroes to band together and fight back. I guess XCOM is the most obvious thing that people go, oh, it's a bit like XCOM. If you're familiar with Chimera Squad, XCOM Chimera Squad, it's closer to that, where there are kind of set heroes and there are missions that you go on.
You can get every episode of Lightmap for free on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on YouTube. Head to our website, sifter.com.au, or wherever you like to listen.